Blog Talk Radio.
That there'll be people listening today. We are averaging over 1,000 listeners, so we know that you're out there. And we thank you so much for growing with us. For those listeners who are not able to go on the internet, you may be listening via telephone. For other listeners who want to participate, the number to call in is 1-646-727-3758. And we've got an early caller on this morning, called in a little bit before the show started. And we certainly appreciate him. He's the president of our student advisory board, Tom Baker, and he'll be sharing some stories with us about some great memories that he's had from high school to college. And that's what we'll be sharing today, is about how memories can be beautiful, but they can also be painful, and that goes back to that great Barbara Streisand hit, Memories. We have another caller online right now, and we'll go ahead and say good morning. How are you? This is Professor Applewhite.
Happy Balas Saleem. Happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day. It was a delicious, delicious holiday.
Uh-huh.
Yes, lots of memories from the past, not only from the factor of what happened with Thanksgiving, from the negative to the positive, but also in just memories of families getting together in the past. And so I really appreciated my time. I hope you had the same experience.
Yeah, we gave away 200 turkeys, so.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
We saw a lot of smiling faces.
Well, this is Habibullah Saleem, for those of you out there that are listening in this morning, and he and his wife, Serena, run the, go ahead and say the name, the Cup.
Cultural Cup Food Bank.
The Cultural Cup Food Bank here in Arizona. And I'm grateful for them for getting those turkeys out. Over 200 turkeys, you say, Habibullah? Over 200 turkeys? Hello? Habibullah? Okay, somehow we lost him, but I think he said over 200 turkeys he was able to get out today, which is just wonderful. We have another caller coming in. Good morning.
Good morning, Nazim Rashid.
Good morning, Brother Nazim Rashid. And I just gave a comment about your beautiful music at the beginning of the show. We thank you so much for that, for providing that for our listeners. I know every Saturday that I start the show and I listen to that music, I'm always tapping my toes and snapping my fingers because it's so good. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So, and that album is available on Amazon for our listeners out there, and it's called River Nile. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the name of the song. The album is called Remembrance. Remembrance.
Remembrance is the album. Please help me with that if I do mess up on that in the future. I think I've been saying River Nile as the album, but it is Remembrance for our listeners out there. And we have another caller online. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you?
Good
Hello?
Morning. This is Dorothy Rashid.
And Dorothy Rashid, always a pleasure to hear from you. Dorothy Nichols Rashid is our resource consultant for White Apple Institute. Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to do Remembering Feelings of Success this morning. And we would like to start with Dorothy reading a description of the show so our listeners out there can get a full understanding of what we'd like to focus on this morning. Would you read for us, Dorothy?
Okay. Well, what I printed out doesn't talk about the feelings.
Okay.
So I must have printed out the wrong one.
That's okay. The print probably wouldn't have come out last night anyway. Professor Applewhite was late getting her assignments in this week. Okay? As that goes, on the actual show information for today's show, we have it reading out the segment name. The episode is Remembering Feelings of Success, Part 1. And so this is a two-part program that we'll be talking about. We hope that listeners will call in and talk about their experiences that started with a negative, maybe, experience in school but turned into a very beautiful experience in the aftermath. And so that's what we'd like to focus on, is the beautiful thoughts and feelings that are associated with school and work experiences. So we'd like to find out from our listeners, you know, what kinds of jobs that they've held that really brought them joy, and what was going on in their environment. We'd also like to talk about school experiences, if you have not had a great work experience, maybe a school experience to help you. That sound all right?
Wonderful.
Okay. How do we think about that, Nazim?
Sounds fantastic. We need to explore that more so. We need to explore more so. I love it.
Right. And remembering feelings of success, I'd like you to speak about the issues of denial, because sometimes we deny ourselves feeling successful because of all the things that are going on in our environment. And then also going back to some of the things that we do with suppressing memories and that kind of thing is denying the reality around us. So Brother Nazim Rashid will share a little bit out of his book, Reconnecting, on denial today in association with how to minimize the denial issues and bring up more of the positive feelings of success from our past experiences so that they dictate the map for our future. Sound okay to you?
Oh, yes. That's a good
All
way
right.
to go.
We've got Tom Baker on the line here, and he's
yeah.
share one of his great stories. So after Dorothy reads, we're going to listen to your story. Okay, Tom?
Okay. Well, I was going to talk about how I got out of high school in 3 years after a failure of flunking out of kindergarten because my parents.
All right. Okay, so just hold on a minute and let's let Dorothy read our show description. Dorothy, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Remembering Feelings of Success, Part 1. The memories of our early school can be beautiful, but what is too painful to remember, we choose to suppress or forget. Suppression and denial are about consciously pushing memories into our unconscious that cause us painful thoughts.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The thoughts we are talking about this episode focus on the times you sat behind a desk, excited about the learning experience, and overcame harmful thoughts and denial of the reality facing you. It is our hope that our listeners who may have forgotten the excitement of learning can be encouraged to see the light at the end of the tunnel again.
Yes.
This is the month that we help many adult learners connect with education and training programs that will maintain or assist with obtaining successful placement in the workforce. Yay!
All right.
All right.
Now that's a good point. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Somebody have a comment?
Oh, I was just going to say all right to what Dorothy said.
Right.
I know Voc Rehab helped me get through school and eventually become a case manager working with mentally ill people, and I really enjoyed that.
Absolutely. That's a great experience to have. I hope that all of our listeners enjoyed that great description of our show. Thank you, Dorothy. And it's important for us to, breaking it down just a little bit here, is that when we're talking about suppression and denial, we're talking about the conscious pushing down of painful memories or uncomfortable memories that cause us some challenges with moving forward. And so sometimes it's hard for us to, many of us, to get that job that we really want or ask for promotions or move up into another level of learning and training because of what has happened in our past. And we speak a lot about that on our show. Today we're just going to take a little bit of a twist off of that and focus on the excitement of the first learning experience and how we overcome the denial. So for all of us there, I hope that breaks down the description of the show a little bit more for you. I will explain at the end of the show why this is a very, very important month for White Apple Institute, the upcoming month of December. But we actually start November and December of helping students to understand more about what's available for the following year. And so that's 2010 coming right up at us. Okay, Tom, you're anxious to share with us. There's one more caller. We'll go ahead and open up the line to that caller,
well,
and then we're going to go ahead and listen to your story.
Since we were going to talk about denial, I remember once I was very, very ill. I'm a paraplegic and my bladder had shut down. And I had a life-threatening situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually couldn't face up to the life-threatening situation. So I worried about something much more basic and actually had a nervous breakdown over it.
Wow.
And that was just not facing a problem. You know, I could face the smaller problem, and it seemed like I could do something to control it, which I had no control over that either, but the bigger problem I couldn't face. So I refused to face it and worried about something else anyway.
You know, Tom, that's a very good point, that sometimes there are multiple issues going on at one time, and we find that that's very, very common, especially with our students, is that it's not usually one thing that begins that dropout process, but it's a number of things as they build up, right, Nazim, that snowball, you know. And that snowball gets so big that we only need that one thing, that one straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak, and that's what sends us into anxiety attacks, social phobias, where we're scared to be around people, where we feel uncomfortable around people. And those are the things that lead up to this breakdown of our emotions, our anxiety, our panic attacks. So thank you for sharing that, because that's a very important issue, Tom. What positive experience came from that? Because I know you went back and you finished college, right?
Well, this was after college, after I'd finished college. But after that, I recovered from the breakdown. It took 5 years before I was completely recovered or near completely recovered. I still have symptoms of it that I have to deal with and medication I have to take. But I got to be a case manager working with mentally ill people.
Wow.
Which I never would have got if I had not been mentally ill myself, because they were looking for specifically mentally ill people that had a college degree that had a breakdown.
And that's so, you know, that's something that a lot of people are not aware of, is that the symptoms of a breakdown, and we usually call it, in the world of psychology now, we call it anxiety disorder, but it means the same thing. I truly understand what you're saying. And we don't look enough into the mental history of somebody and their environment, what's going on that can push them over that edge. And I like the way, and I know Nazim was smiling when you talked about sometimes because you didn't want to face certain things and you were denying certain things in your life. But we want to welcome people to call in because of the fact that we overlook the fact that mental health issues are not about someone that is walking around babbling and not coherent about their environment. Mental health issues face everyone every day of our lives. And, Tom, I appreciate you saying that it's an ongoing issue. Is that right?
Yes, it is ongoing.
Yes. Nazim, anything you want to comment or anyone else?
Well, I have to agree with Tom. You know, you have to be aware all the time of what's going on inside and outside yourself. And that's real important because the changes can happen at any moment, really, with our mental state. And so we always have to be on guard as to what we're thinking about, where our thoughts are going to, and what our feelings are about on a constant basis to make sure that we're grounded and we have the kind of mindset that we want to have. That's very important. So I found that when you relax too much in those areas and you allow different thoughts to come in and you're around folks that have, real negative feelings, and you allow those kind of things and you don't set up parameters around yourself, you're affected. You're affected. And before you know it, you start thinking differently, acting differently, and sometimes it's really self-destructive.
Yeah. Also, okay. I was going to add, Apple, that if you need help, you should go get it when you first need it because it can snowball so fast. I had paranoia and denial and all that kind of stuff and thought everybody was out to get me. By the time I needed a psychiatrist and realized I needed one, there was a very short window before I was too far gone to actually seek one.
And I'm sure you've worked with other people, Tom, that have been in that situation, being that you were in case management.
Yes, I have.
Yes, and one of the most, and correct me if I'm wrong, because in my experience working with different groups in therapeutic settings, that I hear so often that people say, I want to go back to school. That you ask them, what do you want to do with your life? And they tell you about things that they wanted to do long time ago, but they haven't thought about again. And so the job of good case management is to try to get them connected into resources that you mentioned earlier, like vocational rehabilitation. Okay?
Right.
That's a resource.
Yeah, White Apple Institute's a good resource, too.
Well, thank you very much. Absolutely. It certainly is. We try our best to connect people to great resources, and in doing that, we do something very special that a lot of agencies, we're trying to encourage them to do the same thing, is to transition people smoothly to the next step, call them and follow up with them. And I know that the most common response that I get from that is, where's the time to do that? And we get that from teachers and counselors all over the place. Right, Nazim? Hello?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. You're right.
Yes, all over the place. And so what happens is that we have to teach people, especially those professionals, case management and above, that are in charge of helping other people, to know that that has to be part of the counseling process, is that follow-up, that smooth transition into another, from one resource to another. So thank you, Tom.
Right.
That's a great story that you brought out. And look at you now is the issue. I mean, here you are, president of the Student Advisory Board of a volunteer nonprofit organization. You have accomplished a college degree, and you have been challenged by the wheelchair for how many years?
32 years now.
32 years. Do you mind sharing with the listeners out there how this happened?
No, not at all. I was 20, and I was going from Sedona, going from Flagstaff back through Sedona through those windy switchback roads, and the driver of the car went off the road, hit the side of a mountain, and then he hit the gas instead of the brake, and now we're going 60 to 65 miles an hour. Well, I was in a Volkswagen Beetle without a shoulder strap, and I went forward real fast and backwards real fast and exploded one of the vertebrae in my back. And I also injured my brain at that time, and that's part of what led to my breakdown 9.5 years later. But I got back into college right after my injury and started playing basketball and started getting my life back together.
Wow.
And I did the same thing after my nervous breakdown.
What is it, Tom? What is it inside of you that, I mean, of so many people, and I know that our co-hosts and other listeners out there can attest to so many people with a horrific accident that you had, and that was caused by a sleepy driver, from what I understand. Wasn't a drunk or
driver?
Yeah,
mine was probably the driver. My brother had come up to visit me the day before. The driver of our car, it was a one-car accident. I was the passenger. Had my brother gotten him up at 10:30, and the guy had gone to bed at 6:30 or so. So he was probably sleepy and just dozed for a second, and that was all it took. We don't really know the exact cause, though. I mean, that was never determined.
Well, you know what, but the key is here, is that so many people give up. They give up. They keep rewinding the memories, the bad, painful memories. They keep rewinding it, and they suppress the good things, okay? They deny.
Yeah, they do that.
Right. And so they never get started again, especially with such a horrific experience, and we both have met many people that are wheelchair-bound, but that's not the biggest issue is how they feel mentally and emotionally about rolling up their sleeves, right?
You know, it's an emotional issue, yeah, to deal with, and also you don't have bowel and bladder control, so that's emotional to deal with.
Yes.
You know?
Those are very good points. Very good point. And that's a lifelong issue. And
That's a lifelong issue.
That's right. And dealing with that on a day-to-day basis and still being able to roll up your sleeves and finish college, okay, takes something going on inside of you, Tom. Or maybe it is another person motivating you or the environment around you, but something is happening that caused you to overcome the denial that most people use as their excuse for not going back to school. Okay?
Yeah, well, you know, a high percentage of the people I know that were injured around my age, and I was around 20, so people between, let's say, 18 and 25, when they're injured in that range, or sometimes even older, do go to school and do achieve success. And some people do go through denial. I didn't go through denial about that, but when I was mentally ill, I sure went through denial about that, you know, because there's a lot of stereotypes about mental illness.
Yes, there are so many stereotypes, and so many of it. When we talk about denial, as Nazim will be speaking about from his book Reconnecting in just a moment, when we speak about that, we are really talking about mental illness. In association with denial, because if we're not careful, we can cross over that very, very thin threshold, right, Nazim? Right into a breakdown, as Tom was talking about. Yeah,
that's
that anxiety begins to build because we're suppressing something. So go ahead and share with us. I don't know what chapter that is in your book, but for any of you listeners out there, as you're listening to Nazim for a moment, make sure you call in. Dorothy, can you tell them where to call in at or connect with us out on the web so that they can get put their name on the waiting list for his book?
Yes. Please call 480-659-8582. That's White Apple Institute's phone number. Also, you can send an email through the WhiteAppleInstitute.org website.
Absolutely. And she'll be sharing more resources with you later. For those of you who wish to call in out there, please dial 1-646-727-3758. And we'll be ready to listen to you. Also, our chat room is open. For those of you on the Internet that do not want to go on air live, please feel free to join us in our chat room and discuss these things that we're talking about now. Nazim, are you ready to lead us down the road and share with us a little bit about SMILE? We'll pick up the second part of that next week.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it's real important to understand what we're talking about when we're talking about denial. And I agree that when you suppress, you're suppressing for a reason. And that reason is conscious, you know. But too many times we do things unconsciously. And that's the difference between repression and suppression.
Right,
and
exactly.
That's what I want to speak on, the unconscious part. Because I don't think that many of us would consciously try to stuff some things away knowing the harm it will cause us, you know?
Yes.
And so
right.
We don't want to do that. But what happens is that we have, matter of fact, let me give you a prime example that happened this past week. I was talking to an aunt of mine who is 92 years young.
Yes.
About her childhood, and I want to know more about what happened back then.
Uh-huh.
And she was saying that, well, there were 7 kids, and everybody was just doing just fine and beautiful and so forth. And so I asked, well, how are the parents treating you guys? Oh, the parents are perfect. They're just wonderful. The mother spent time with each of us personally, and the father was so gracious and protecting, and he loved us all. So I said, was there any abuse? Oh, no abuse whatsoever. It was fine and wonderful, and it was fine. And so I said, well, now, I was told my father ran away as a teenager. Oh, yes, he did that. Well, did he run away because there was a problem down there? Oh, no, he just wanted more opportunities in Chicago versus Mississippi. And so he just ran off and said, well, if it was a consensual, his father will approve and help him along, don't you think? And she said, well, he didn't have any money, so he just kind of took off. And I said, okay. And how about you? When did you leave? I left when I was 13. I said, 13 years old, and it was okay. Oh, it was fine, wonderful, no problem whatsoever. You know, we just wanted to go to Chicago and live with our auntie and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I'm saying, aunt, it's real important to understand that when you release some old emotions, and release some of these things, what happens, you really start to feel good. Now, you go through a process called a healing crisis at first, where you initially feel bad again, but what happens in the process of cleaning those old emotions out, you actually feel free and relieved, knowing that you don't have to carry this burden anymore around with you. You don't have to carry that. So,
right.
So now tell me now, are you sure everything was okay? I said, now let me tell you something. My father told me that there was looking at abuse, that on several occasions there was some bloodshed from some of the beatings that he got from his father, which was your father also.
Right.
Do you know anything about that? Well, I've never heard that before. You know, I don't know anything about that. You see, and so I said, well, that's what I was told that, and he said that, and he ran away because he didn't want to be in that situation anymore. He wanted a better life in Chicago.
Wow.
And so I said, now, what do you think about that? Well, I haven't heard that before. Everybody was perfect down there, you know. Everybody was perfect. So what happens now, now fast forwarding a little bit, that particular family, you know, they had a big thing about being impressionable. They wanted to show the best side all the time. They're always perfectly starched and well-dressed all the time. They spoke nothing but the greatness about themselves, and they were very particular about who they associated with. They're very judgmental with everybody, including themselves and one another. And you could see that they had a hard time having fun and being happy. They had a hard time with that. And so being happy and having fun
right.
and being happy. And
uh-huh.
and when they would come over to the house, my mother, who was just opposite, which laugh and sing and dance. We laugh and sing and dance. And they would look at us like we were
something
real
wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You don't fit into this picture of being serious and solemn.
No. Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Right.
And we wore jeans and had something. Don't you have something else to put on? You know, and they had some real problems. So then I said to myself, you know, there must have been some real serious hurt going on earlier.
Right.
For them to be like that. Now, the girls, all the girls, none of the girls worked when they came up there. They had, you know, initially some jobs, but they never really worked. They all attached themselves to men who made a lot of money. And they all did that,
right.
All of them.
Right.
And so forth. And so there's some problems. So what I'm saying is that it's very important that you, in order to be truly free inside, where when you look at the mirror, you can smile. You can look at the mirror and smile and thank God that Allah has blessed you with this inner spirit and outer spirit, you
yes.
see? And when you can really truly do that, you know, then you're on the side of life instead of a side of denial. You can't be like that. It's real super important. And now in my book, in my 12 Principles of Recovery chapter, I cover a lot of that because as a matter of fact, even the picture I had someone illustrate for me is a picture that is releasing a ball and chain. They're releasing the ball and chain.
Wow.
And they're laughing and smiling. And now they can run further down the road toward their goal.
Now, as time permits, we've got about 28 minutes remaining here.
As time permits,
we'd like to go through, if you don't mind, if that's a possibility, have six of the 12 issues of recovery today. And I want to also interject that as we acknowledge that we have different cultural groups that listen to our show, different religious groups, we all want you to know that that we are all God-loving people. And by whatever name we choose to call God is always a beautiful thing. And we welcome people to express themselves in whatever way possible, as long as it's on a positive tip and we can create a positive dialogue. So we always appreciate, thank you, Nazim, for acknowledging God's name from an Islamic standpoint as Allah. And we appreciate Tom being on board and sharing his story. Does anyone else, I heard someone else trying to make a comment a little earlier before Nazim gets into six of the 12 issues on recovery from his book.
I just want to do
someone
this,
else that wanted to speak?
Habib, I want to do this poem. It's called Memories Remembered. Okay? Mm-hmm. Memories Remembered. It says, memories remembered, some quite rotten, some quite hard, some like cotton. Memories of the moment, memories of the past, memories we've conquered, memories that last. Memories and more memories, the best of the best. Memories of honor, wanting to rest. Past experiences trapped in fear, yet in the end, nothing but cheer. Memories of hurt, some quite pain. Some with great pain, yet in the end, memories of gain. Memories of school, preparing for exams. Memories of procrastinating, having to cram. Oh, how nervous, seeking the results. Memories of parents, demanding adults, unwilling to displease those who care. Memories of parents, oh, what a scare. Pressure and more pressure, striving to achieve. Memories of doubt, while learning to succeed.
Wow. Wow. That was absolutely
That's a good poem.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
Thank
you.
It was very good. Right on time. Right on time.
You know how...
Any of you interested in subscribing to Habibullah Salim's newsletter, which is it okay to say Islamic-oriented?
No, it's universally oriented. It's
universally oriented. Would you tell our readers how to get in touch with you?
I prefer talking direct by phone. If
yes.
they call me or by phone, it's 602-265-7913, 602-265-7913.
Okay.
They can email, but, you know, like I say, hscrtal@aol.com, hscrtal@aol.com. I will be
informed. We'll have your information on board also because
okay.
Habibullah Salim is nominated as a board member for White Apple Institute, and we certainly hope that he'll join us, he and his beautiful wife, who are striving so hard to do so many things in the community, especially with feeding others, and feeding others the physical food along with a lot of emotional and spiritual components is what I think all food banks should be looking at, you guys as a model, Habibullah.
Yes.
So you can also get in touch with Serena, his wife, and Habibullah through our call number, which is what Dorothy gave you a little while ago. Dorothy, you want to repeat that number and our website so that listeners will not feel that they missed a number or something. They can always contact us. Hello? Hello, Dorothy? All right, I'll go ahead and give our website information is whiteappleinstitute.org. And our call-in number in Arizona, our headquarters, is 480-659-8582. And we're available internationally. We have people listening to us from everywhere, from Australia to Nigeria. And I hope that some of you, as you have written in, have said that some of you have a pad and paper near our near the phone or radio, your computer, when you're listening to us. And we appreciate that. Because, you know, everything we're talking about is about becoming better students and teachers in whatever category that we're in. Nazim, would you like to share six?
Dr. Applewhite, let me just say this right quick.
Yes, go ahead.
If someone is bringing some food to the food bank, and I need to leave and be there
them
to open up and so they can put it, we can get it inside.
Well,
but
we certainly appreciate you doing that. We know how important that work is, and we look forward to you calling in again next Saturday if you can.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now.
May God be with you. Love and peace.
Same. Peace.
All right. So we appreciate all the people that come in. Sometimes they can't stay with us the whole hour, and that's always appreciated. So anyway, we're continuing on with six of the 12 issues of recovery that are really important when we start remembering feelings of success and wanting to succeed in our lives and overcome the painful thoughts, the suppression that we've already done, and the denial. So please share with us, Nazim.
All right, I'll move on. I want to really talk about what is comfortable, what we have considered to be comfortable. And like I was mentioning with my aunt, it was comfortable to have this idea that everything is perfect. And what happened when you move from what you consider comfort to freedom, you have to go through a process of change and transition. You see, and so for, and the reason we don't do it because we're too comfortable in where we are. And I wanted to recite just a little bit of Billie Holiday's song called Good Morning Heartache.
Yes.
And she says, good morning heartache, you old gloomy sight. Good morning heartache, thought we said goodbye last night.
Right.
I turned and tossed until it seemed you had gone, but here you are with the dawn. Which I forget you, but you're here to stay. It seems I met you when my love went away. Now every day I start by saying to you, good morning, heartache, what's new? And it says, stop haunting me now. Can't shake you no how. Just leave me alone. I've got those Monday blues straight through Sunday blues. Good morning, heartache. Come on, sit on down. You see, and that right there says a lot, you know, because we have this feeling that we really don't like this situation, but because it's been around so long, it's our best friend.
Right.
It's our best friend, and so we don't want to do it. And so when I talk to addicts about going to recovery and looking at a new life for themselves, they say, that sounds good, looks good. You know, I love to take care of my family. I'd like to go ahead and keep a job. I'd like to go ahead and do those things. You know, but, hey, I've been doing this for so long. This is what I know. I know the streets. I know where the drugs are.
Yeah.
I know this life, you know, and so this is what I know. The other life you're talking about, I don't know that life. You
right.
know, I don't know that life. And so, you know, I appreciate it, but, you know, I'm going to stay right here where I am.
Mm-hmm.
See? And it really becomes a problem when we say we want a new life, but our actions and thoughts are saying we want to stay right where we are.
Yes.
You see? So that's why it's so important that if you want a different life, we have to stay out of that river called denial. We have to stay out of that river because that river will sweep us down to an area that will not be beneficial for us. So that's why it's very important to have in your vision what a good, healthy life is. See yourself there. See yourself there, and then say, yes, I feel it. I want it. It's mine. I'm living it.
Right.
And it starts right in your mind. You have to want that. And when you do that, you cannot have any part of the old life there. Any part of the thoughts, any part of the association, sometimes any part of the neighborhood, any part of that environment, all that has to be gone entirely. You have to want a different life entirely for yourself. And when you say, yes, I want this, then what happens, the universe comes in there and says, yes, I'm going to give it to you now. You see, but you have to completely let it go. And we don't want to do that. We will hold on to part of it, you know. Hold on to that friend down the street. Hold on to that wife or husband. Hold on to this job. Hold on to this environment because they are friends. No, they're friends to your problem, not to your recovery and success.
Right.
And that's what we
got
to remember all the time.
One of the expressions that we hear a lot is that misery loves company, but misery only loves miserable company. And it's interesting that you talk a lot about associations because I did a chapter in my book that's coming out in the latter part of 2010 for our listeners out there is the rehabilitation of our illness mentality and how we change an illness mentality into a wellness mentality. And so basically I talk a lot about associations and that conditioning that we have to being familiar with an environment. It's so, so critical that we understand that many times the relatives or children that we are raising go back to bad habits or I don't like to be judgmental, but unproductive habits, okay? And the reason why is because of this conditioning and this familiarity that Nazim Rashid is alluding to. And also the factor that, you know, we have to look at our environment, right, Nazim?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, moving from our environment, you know, I go through this whole thing, and I'm sure you can elaborate on this a lot because you have your book, Reconnecting, is about parenting. And what I talk about is that, you know, I started one of my chapters is Human See, Human Do. And one of the things that I talk about is that there's a sensitive area of not wanting to think about our parents as the first model of our caregivers as sick. You know, and sometimes our parents are sick, okay, physically or mentally. They have emotional issues maybe, and especially if we're talking about anything from alcoholism to schizophrenia and its influences. So, you know, when we think about this first model and how our parents can create an environment around us that can make us very mentally ill, we have to really... something inside of us, as Tom was alluding to earlier, we have to do some kind of breakthrough, Nazim. And what
mm-hmm.
that breakthrough is what? What do we call
mm-hmm.
that breakthrough? That's what I'm trying to get to a word, not a word so much as a feeling this morning before we close. What is that feeling that switches on the light and makes us roll up our sleeves and says, I don't care if I've got a busted up spinal cord or I've got neurons in my brain that are not working. I am still going to go forward and do something. What is that?
Well, to me, it's two words. It's peace and freedom.
Hmm.
Peace and freedom. And I'm talking about not just the ordinary peace that you have from, you know, getting high. Really, addicts, they have a lot of peace. They get high on there. They're very peaceful. I'm not talking about that kind of peace.
Yes.
I'm talking about the peace that only God can give, that peace that inside, deep inside, the inner child inside is happy and content. And it's just kind of, just imagine yourself holding your child, which is your child self, in your arms. And your child self is looking at you, and you're looking at your child self, and both are smiling very contently. Eyes are meeting, and you know you're all right.
Right, right. What a nice thought. And that's ladies and gentlemen out there, I'll tell you, that's one of the greatest feelings I get from reading Nazim Rashid's work is that feeling of warmth, of nurturing myself and learning how to nurture others, especially those that I mentor, and teaching them that, you know, you can't get back, and you can never get back in the same water, okay? The same river,
no.
The same sea. It always changes. One of, I can't, I, it was a Greek writer, Heraclitus, who wrote, "You cannot step twice into the same river, for other waters are continually flowing in." So there's always change that's going to be happening. And if you ever, it's just like the addict, many addicts that are addicted to drugs, because there's many different addictions, but they're always trying to seek that first high again, of getting back
right.
to that first high. And they're never able to do that. We know scientifically they can't do it. They can never get back to that point, but they're always reaching for it. So we have to help our relatives, our children, our students, and our teachers to recognize that the past is the past. And suppressing information, and certainly repressing, which repression is that unconscious pushing down. We're not aware that the horrific event in our life is actually affecting us, like the one that you mentioned in that story about your aunt. You know,
yes.
She's probably not even aware of how much repression she has done in her life. And that usually takes a psychologist, a counselor like myself or you with your personal development to go in and ask her to remember and try to get through that. But most people are not aware. But the suppression we can get to. We can help people not to suppress so much so that they can move forward and remember the feelings of success versus failure, right?
And one more thing I want to just mention here is two
sure.
motivating factors. The two major motivating factors are fear and desire. Again, fear
oh, yeah.
and desire.
Mm-hmm,
you
absolutely.
See, and what happens, we're too much on the fear side. We see fear. That's why we stay where we are, because we're afraid of other than where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You see? We know the streets. We know the drugs. We know this dysfunction. You know, and we're fearful of crossing over into the other life that we call health, peace, and freedom. They're afraid of that. So
right.
what I do, I say, let's talk about what you really, really want. Let's focus on just desire only.
Right.
You see? And when they can love what they desire, within when they can love their new self, when they can really go from fear to desire, then you can have them go through that big portal, that big transitional portal to their new self. I want to mention that.
Very, very important. And still, getting to that portal sometimes means that you need to call an organization such as White Apple Institute.
That's
and
right.
you need to connect with someone there that can either help you to and support your endeavors for school and for work, or who can put you in touch with resources out there. That's why we do this show every Saturday morning. All our listeners out there, please understand, this show is not about expressing our egos or selling our books or our music or anything like that, even though we mention those things, because by gaining more the commercial issues, we can put more money into our fundraising, which you'll hear about in a minute from Dorothy. She'll tell us a little bit more about how you can help us to support this work. But we want you to understand that our purpose here is to open up the doors to White Apple Institute, open up the awareness that we exist and that we want to help people out there who are suffering from some of the issues that we've talked about in the past. In a few weeks coming, we'll be talking about working with cancer and HIV and very debilitating diseases, and how diseases, how people turn those into eases and are able to work. So we hope that you stay tuned and look for that show coming up. Dorothy, are you ready to share some resources with us? Or let me ask first, Nazim, were you complete with what you wanted to share this morning?
Well, there's so much to talk about and share, but I think the main
sure.
points you're giving right there, and I think that's important for people to just hear that part there and realize, you know, just kind of realize where you are. And it's okay to acknowledge that you're not where you want to be. That's okay. The very first thing is just acknowledge it.
Right.
Just acknowledge it for where it is and where you are. Just acknowledge that. And once you acknowledge that, then you can take another step. But what happens, you can't take the next step if you don't know what step you're on now.
Isn't that wonderful? That goes back to the factor that if you stepped in the river, know where you stepped, and move to another place or enjoy the new experience. Step into the new. I think that's a really good statement to wrap up what we've been doing today, this morning, is step into the new, people. I think that's what you're trying to say, Nazim. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. So let's see if we can get Dorothy on here to talk about one of the greatest resources, and we want to elaborate on that a little bit more, Dorothy, this morning, is that Blastoff website that you set up for White Apple Institute, and how our online shoppers, if you already online shop, listen to what Dorothy's going to tell you.
Okay. Well, think about it, listeners. How much money are you making while your friends, business associates, and peers go shopping this holiday season? Maybe even if you're not into holiday shopping, you may be into shopping for your business. How many companies are paying you to refer clients to them? So,
none. I don't get any referral money.
How would you like to get cash back, rebates, coupons, and discounts for shopping at your favorite stores? Also think about saving on a lot of its free shipping, no taxes when you order online. And just check out White Apple Institute, blastoff.com. And
I'll be one
happy
more time.
White Apple Institute, blastoff.com.
Thank you. Wow. And that's how they can get in and support what we're doing. They can online shop the way they normally do, right?
Right.
Okay, and then a percentage comes back to us, and they're not going to be charged more for merchandise, right?
That's correct. They will save money and make money themselves.
Wow. Wait a minute. That part I didn't get. They save money. Okay, I understood that from before. They get a discount, and then we also get a percentage from the stores. And these are big stores. These are like
like Macy's, Best Buy, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Southwest Airlines, Budget Rental Car, Enterprise Rental Car. It's over 400. If you like jewelry, there's jewelers online as well.
Wow.
Almost
what a great
any.
Thing.
Yeah, Sears, Target, they're there as well.
So you see that, listeners? I mean, these are places that you already go to. And we're asking you to continue for you to continue supporting our work at White Apple Institute. That you go online to White Apple Institute, right? How do you have it?
Uh-huh. Yes, White Apple Institute, blastoff.com.
Wow. Okay, that's fantastic. And we also Nazim had ended his discussion a moment ago with acknowledgement. And, as soon as he said that word, I thought about all the people that we need to acknowledge. I want to let our listeners know we got a very generous donation in of computers and printers, some from Wendy Duncan and Dr. Martha Bergen. We want to always acknowledge them for helping out the students that are peer counselors in training at White Apple Institute. So we really thank them for that. And then other people, right? We don't want to forget the Johnsons.
Eric and we have Eric
and Adele. And Adele Johnson.
Adele,
no, right.
With Specialized Mobility Services. Joanne Grandis also with biofeedback and her wellness consulting business.
Oh, yes, Jolynn with Transformational Energy. We can't forget her. Oh, she's been so, so helpful. Yes, thank you. And you know what? Our last week's show with Nick and Inkwell Publications, is that right? Did I say that right?
Oh.
Inkwell Publications? Is that right, Nazim? I want to make sure I see it.
It's actually Inkwell Productions.
Inkwell Productions, so I had it right the first one. Okay, Nick, Letadikas, great Greek name. Was with us last week and agreed to help us publish stories from our listeners out there, from our students who have come through White Apple Institute and want to share their story of success. So we certainly encourage you, if you've got a great story out there, to enroll, register with us, which doesn't cost you anything. You can become a member right now before December 31st for $1 a month. You can become a member of White Apple Institute. That's $12 a year, listeners. After December 31st, that price goes back to the regular $24 for the year for those that are in the student level. So we thank you so much for that. We got about 5 minutes remaining on the show. Any other resources you want to acknowledge, Dorothy?
AmeriCorps, Martha Bergen brought some information to our attention, AmeriCorps
yes.
for college students, helping with money for college.
And we still have that. We have that here at White Apple Institute now. We have access to that program, and so they can definitely connect with us to talk more to Dr. Bergen about that. Isn't
yes.
that wonderful? She set that up through us now.
Yes, and
mm-hmm.
Your PayPal's donation area on the website is also set up.
Oh, yes, that's right. Our listeners can go on there right now and make a donation to help White Apple Institute with this work. And don't forget, listeners, as we prepare, one of the things that I said at the beginning of the show is that we are in these last months of the year, they're very important because the students are actually preparing for those New Year's resolutions, right? You remember those? The New Year's resolutions of I'm going to change my life and do something better. But, you know, and so during November and December, we just get a flood of students saying that, you know, they want to prepare for the year 2010, whether you've been incarcerated, you may have a prison record, you may have difficulty speaking English appropriately, you may have mental health challenges. We certainly encourage you to get in touch with us because you can do something special with your life. And somewhere in your experiences of sitting behind a desk somewhere, okay, in a school or at a workplace, you had a feeling of success and you felt good. It might have been the first 2 weeks of your encounter there, but you felt good about it. I want you to keep that. We all want you to keep that in front of you so that you can go on and pick up that phone and make that call to us. Give them the numbers again, Dorothy. We got about 2 minutes remaining here. Give them our call information, please.
Okay. It's for the talk show, it's 646-727-3758. For White Apple Institute, our local office here in Arizona, it's 480-659-8582.
Exactly. And we're getting right now Professor Applewhite, myself here, we just came back from Alabama a few weeks ago giving a speech at the Disability Awareness Day there, and we're still getting callers' contact information back from Alabama that's saying that people really benefited from knowing about what White Apple Institute is doing in the world. And we can't thank you enough for those kinds of comments. U.S. Army Depot in Anniston, Alabama, thank you very much for all your salutes to us. Okay, and we thank all of our veterans. We give our condolences to all the families at Fort Hood, Texas, and for all of our veterans and soldiers around the world that are doing their best to maintain peace. We want to speak about peace here, and so we thank you for that. Any other comments, Nazim, as we begin to close?
Yes, I think that we should definitely talk more about identifying with feelings of success next week. There's so much we need to look at, such as what does the brain do when we're successful?
Yes.
What happens there? You know, so we need to identify that. And the more we identify with that, the more we actually align ourselves on the path of success ourselves.
Wonderful. That's right. Absolutely. And I hope that my book will not be available until the end of the year, but I hope that the listeners will keep in mind that I do go through a lot of things on the old mentality, the wellness mentality. So contact us and let us know if you're interested in Nazim's book. If you want to go on a waiting list, this book will be out very, very soon. And for my book, The Illness Mentality, you can put yourself on a waiting list for that. And, don't forget to contact Dorothy Nichols Rashid for a resource on any of the things that she's talked about today. Call her here at contact her here at White House. Okay. Thank you so much. We've got 30 seconds remaining on the show. wishes much love and